Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Hallelujah. He is Lord. Amen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many has already willingly done that now? Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And he will receive his right due praise and glory. But we are people that freely give it to him now. Amen? Happily so. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm thankful that you're in the house of the Lord today, gathered among the Lord's people. Are you thankful that Jesus is alive? Are you thankful that you're alive in him? It makes all the difference. Amen? You've made a very, very good decision to be here in the house of the Lord today. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for you. And I tell you what, I'm ready to get into the Word. We are a Word church. Somebody say amen. Am I thinking there'd be anything else? Well, I guess you could try, but we are definitely a Word church, and we teach and preach the Word of God. And Miss Shirley Nance just gave me a praise report that yesterday someone called her up and said, hey, I need you to pray with me. And she said, okay, let's pray. Have you received Jesus? I want to pray for you to receive Jesus. And she said, and that person said, yes, pray that prayer with me. So that's the second person amongst our people that went and won someone to Christ, not during the service, thank God for that, but on their own. How many is thankful for that? Amen? Because we're a soul-winning church. Someone say, we are a soul-winning church. Are you thankful for that? There's nothing greater that you can tell someone about than the love of Christ Jesus and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. If you've got your Bible, I hope that you do. We're going to go ahead and make our confession. If you're visiting with us today, we always say this by faith, and I invite you to join me and say it with us in Jesus' name. Somebody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed. It's the Word of God. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I was thinking about it. I have to remind myself how wicked and terrible the devil is, because if I don't, I begin to feel so sorry for him, having received the greatest rear-end kicking of all of history. Amen? Don't have a big devil and a little God. Have a real big God and a little devil, because he's under your feet if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Luke chapter 24, we're going to read a couple verses here. Luke chapter 24, where we're going to start today. I want you to keep in your heart and your mind that we serve a living God. And I want us to ask the question, we're going to answer it a couple different ways before, of course, you invite me over to dinner after service today. So I don't want to be late for that. But, of course, I want you to know before you leave why the resurrection of Christ matters to you. You know, it's one thing to know why something matters just kind of like out here in space, you know, where it doesn't touch you. It's a whole different ballgame when you realize why it matters to you. When you take ownership of something, when it affects you, it just, you act a little bit different. I like to think of it this way. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger is a real thing. It is a real thing. And I like to say it this way. Hungry people just act different. Anyone ever seen the Snickers commercial? You're hangry. You know, someone's acting crazy or whatever. Like, you need a Snicker. You're hangry. Why is that? Why did we even create a word called hangry? Because when you get hungry, you change. Well, when you're spiritually hungry, you act different. You talk different. You move a little bit different because there's a desire on the inside of you, and it drives you to fulfill that desire. And the Bible tells us that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Anybody hungry today? Anybody thirsty today? We're going to be filled. Amen? Luke 24, starting at verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, They and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, and it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Pro tip, if someone's speaking to you and their clothes are glowing, make sure you listen carefully to what they say. Verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, if you see here a couple things that I want you to point out, and some are kind of side journeys and other are main points, but I think it's interesting, I think it's really beautiful that the very first people that evangelized the world that Christ was alive were some women folk. Amen, women folk? Amen. Don't let anyone tell you to be quiet and sit back. Praise God. It was the women. But now, we gave them a shout of praise, but now notice, what were they doing? They were going to the grave with spices. They didn't expect Jesus to be alive. Why did they wait this long? Well, according to, it's not scripture, but according to Jewish custom, almost you might say myth and mysticism, the Jewish people believed that oftentimes the spirit of a body would stay around that body for about 3 days. But after 3 days, if you're dead, you're dead. Just not like normal dead. You're like, okay, it's it. It's been 72 hours. We can now go. And that's why they waited. That's why they're waiting. And they decide, okay, he's not alive. Let's go anoint his body with spices for a proper burial. So they don't expect him to be alive. So when they get there, they go in and they find this massive stone rolled away. And they're looking inside and they don't see Jesus. They see two angels. And these angels ask them, why are you here? You don't look for living people in the cemetery. You don't look for people who are alive amongst the dead. And he said, he is not here, he's risen. And then they repeat something that Jesus had already said to them. The Son of Man, verse 7, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And at the point of hearing the word, they remembered the word. We're the same way. That's why you constantly have to have a flow of the word of God in your life. Because at the point of hearing the word, you'll remember the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Because they had heard, but what they had heard had no living effect or power right then and there until they heard it again. But when they heard it again, then they remembered. And when they remembered, it changed their situation. And it's no different for you and I today. When we hear the word of God, it brings remembrance to us of what God has said. And we say, God has said it, and he's speaking to me now, and it affects my moment right now. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Well, there's many reasons, but just a few. I want you to see this. One reason the resurrection of Christ matters is because Jesus spoke of it many times. Many times. You're in Luke 24, turn to Luke 18. I want you to show you one time where he's speaking of this. It's actually what the two angelic messengers, they're quoting what we're about to read in Luke 18. Luke 18, 31. This is what they're referring to. Luke 18, starting at verse 31. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the word of Son of Man shall be accomplished. Pause real quick. If the word of God's promised it, it shall come to pass. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, there were things that had been spoken by the Holy Ghost through prophets of old, hundreds, some thousands of years ago. In fact, go all the way back to the very first prophecy that we can see when God himself prophesies and says, woman, of your seed one will be born. Though the serpent will bruise his heel, he'll crush his head. And that was the very first prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though Jesus would hang on the cross, that wouldn't be the end of the story. But by the power of God, He would destroy the works of the devil. And if God's Word says it, it's so. I care not what any other opinion says, even if it's my own. You understand, my favorite opinion is my opinion. Like ideas. The best ideas I've ever heard are my own. Until I tell them the law, and then she shows, you know, there's a few problems with that idea, AJ. Oftentimes it's related with time. Because I think I can do 9 hours of stuff in 2 hours of time. But I'm just not as fast as I think I am. But the prophet spoke, Jesus saying, the things concerning me that the prophet spoke way back then, it has to be fulfilled. It has to be accomplished. Verse 32 of Luke 18. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They'll scourge him. That's the cat of nine tails being whipped, receiving 39 lashes on his back for our healing, and kill him. But it doesn't stop there. The gospel message doesn't stop with Jesus on the cross. And on the third day, he will rise again. Now notice, here's the catch. This is where I want you to see this. You got to see this. Listen, verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They did not know the things which were spoken. You know, we are no different than they in the fact that we're human just as they were. But we can actually possess something and not know the value of it. Have you ever seen, and I don't know if I'm going to get the title right, but is it the Antique Roadshow? Anyone ever seen that? Or maybe like Pickers, American Pickers, or Pawn Stars. All those shows kind of revolve around this same basic idea where someone has something, and the funnest clips of those shows are when someone has something and they take it and they don't realize how valuable it is. And they're like, you know, I just thought it was grandma's painting that she bought at the Jockey Lot or whatever. It's like, no, actually, it's a Picasso and it's worth $1.2 million or whatever. I don't, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, they owned and possessed something and they did not know the value of it. As Christians and believers, may we never have the resurrection power of Christ on the inside of us and not know the value of it. We need to understand and know why the resurrection of Christ matters. Because upon that point in history hinges all of our faith in Christ. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and you'll see exactly why. A couple points right here in this chapter, actually. 1 Corinthians 15, that entire chapter, is dealing with resurrection as a subject. In fact, oftentimes, the very last portion of it is read at times of funerals when loved ones pass away, because it encourages us that if we die in Christ, that's not the end. Somebody say amen. When we die in Christ, our body's in the grave, but our spirit and soul go to meet with the Lord. But the whole chapter is talking about the resurrection as a subject, and it begins with the resurrection of Christ. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Because it is part of the gospel. It is part of the good news of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Pause real quick. You can only give to somebody what you already got. I have delivered to you that which I already received. If you're going to walk in faith in Christ and you want to share this living faith of Jesus with somebody, you can only share to the degree that you have received yourself. That's why it's so important to grow up strong in the Lord. And we're all growing, amen? We're all on that journey. We want to get a little bit stronger every moment, every day in Christ, because I can only give what I've received. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Notice that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 4, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why does the resurrection of Christ Jesus matter? It is the gospel message. It's part of it. It's not just that Jesus died. It's that Jesus died, he was buried, And by the power of God, he was brought back to life. And why does that matter? Why does it matter that Christ was brought back to life? You're in 1 Corinthians 15, just a few verses down. You just probably just bring your eyes down the page, verse 17, or scroll with your thumb a little bit on your mobile device or whatever you're using. Verse 17, it says this, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins." One version says it this way, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." I don't want worthless faith. We were just talking about, you know, that antique roadshow when someone has something, they didn't even know the value of it, and then they find out it's this a crazy amount of value for this thing that they just kind of kept stored away in the house. But actually, some of the saddest clips in those type shows are when someone said, you know, I thought I found this, and, you know, maybe it's a particular type watch. Watches are really bad about this. You know, if you're into watches, I like watches, but if you're into different types of watches, they can go all kinds of prices. But here's the thing, you got to watch out to make sure they're not a fake. Right? And I had some friends that were overseas veterans, and they brought back some Rolexes. But they wasn't Rolexes. And they knew it, and they didn't pay the price for it, but it looked good, and it had the name, except, you know, like the L was kind of crooked or whatever. It was a fake, right? What some of the saddest scenes we ever seen in some of those shows, like Antique Roadshow or something, it's like, I paid $20,000 for this thing. I hate to tell you it's a fake. How much is it worth? $10. You know, well, if Christ isn't risen, our faith that we thought was great is worthless. That's why the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus matters. Because if he just dies, there's no power for you and I to live. See, the death of Jesus paid a debt. It would be no different than you and I having, you know, say we have a great financial debt load and someone, you know, maybe it's the rich uncle, right, that lives off you didn't even know. I hope I'm never anyone's rich uncle, and they hope I have to die to get my money. Just call me up, and I'll write you a check. Don't pray that I'll die to get my money. You know, but the rich uncle dies, and you get inheritance, and it pays off the debt. Great, wonderful. But if there's nothing left, then you're at zero, right? That's what the cross of Christ, if it just pays the debt, you're not alive. Your sins are forgiven. But when you die, it's it. Because the death of Christ pays the debt of sin. Now, how do I know this? Turn with me to Galatians 2:20. This one right here, this you could commit this to your memory. This could be a passage that you could speak out loud and confess every day when you wake up. And it would build such bold faith in your heart and your mind that it would just supernaturally change you, as we all desire to be, supernaturally changed, continually being conformed to the image of Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20, notice what's written here. "For I have been crucified with Christ." I still hear some pages flipping, I'll wait. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, on this earth, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." See, that's why the resurrection of Christ matters. Because if he's alive, so are we. If he's raised from the dead, I have been raised from the dead as well. And here's the thing, and the book of Romans does this really beautifully in chapters 5 and 6. And that's called that's our identification. You know, if you have a driver's license or a concealed weapons permit or any type of identification, what does it have? It has your name and pertinent information concerning who you are and maybe some height or weight that may have been a little creatively written down sometimes, right? When the DMV asks, "How much do you weigh and how tall are you?" "I'm 6'4" and I'm 200 pounds. You know, "Are you sure?" Okay. And, you know, and it's got information about us, it's got a picture, but it verifies who we are. This book is your identification. When you look into it, you see, I am in Christ, and therefore it verifies who I am. And I'm not alive by my life. When you put your faith in Christ, you died with Christ. You were crucified with Christ. You were buried with Christ. And you were raised with Christ. And it doesn't stop there. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're made more than a conqueror. Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? You're either a winner or you're not. How can you be more than a winner? You know, you think about like heavyweight boxing or something like that. You're either the guy standing up or you're the guy on the mat that just saw the stars. But what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It's to experience victory without having to pay the cost. It's kind of like the joys of being a child when mom and dad are doing everything they need to do and life's great and grand. It's like going to Disney World or something like that. The kids, they just enjoy it. They don't pay the price. That's why you take grandparents with you. Praise God. Amen. We got both sets of grandparents. Come on, somebody. Woo! You know, Naomi says, Daddy, I want this. That. Well, you're going to see your grandparents the other day. Hold on that thought. You're going to see them in one day. I got a soft heart for it, too. Laura says, well, me and Naomi will go in the store and come back. Laura says, what are y'all doing? You know, you should have saw what she actually wanted. I actually had some self-control. This is just one buggy. She wanted three, you know. It's like a child being more than a conqueror. You received the victory, but you didn't have to pay the price for it. Jesus went and fought your battle and you got the victory. The debt I owed is paid, but I didn't have to pay it. The life I live, it's not my own. Therefore, it's not constricted to my limitations of who I am or what I can do. The life that flows in you, it's the life of God. You know, Pastor was talking about, we're the body of Christ. You know, that right there, that one thought, that I am part of the body of Christ, it changes the way you think when you allow it to seep down into your heart and, renew your mind. If I'm part of the body of Christ, then only that which can stay on Jesus' body can stay on my body. Why do I believe in healing? Among many reasons, but if I'm part of the body of Christ, Jesus can't be sick. He bore sicknesses. So when sickness wants to attack my body, it can't stay there because I'm in His body. This ain't my own. I don't own this body. The Bible says, know ye not that your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. Now that also means if this is His body, I can't go places He wouldn't go. Amen. Come on, somebody. I can't do things with this body because it ain't mine that He wouldn't do. That's where, you know, living holy comes into play. That means I'm going to honor God with what I think and what I say and what I do. And so if He's alive, so are you. I like this one. Flip over just to Romans chapter 10 as we're kind of wrapping things up here in just a few minutes. Chapter 5, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. Again, this is not a complete list. Just a few high points here. Why the resurrection of Jesus matters and why it matters to you and me. Romans 5, verse 10. Well, you know what? Let's do this. Just go right up to verse 6. It's just like 2 inches above it in my Bible. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, Jesus, He does things at the right time. Not when it's too late. We may sing songs about it, but I don't think we have to be hanging on just barely by tips. You know, and Jesus is just like, they're almost gone. Oh, now I'll come. No, at the right time. And at this time, when was that? Before you even need it, Christ made available to you salvation. That was the right time. God had prepared this for you and made it available to you. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody say, that was me. Verse 7, listen to this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Basically, what does that mean? For anybody to even think about dying for you or me, you would have to be very righteous in the sense of having done no wrong. Like, that person is worthy of dying. And just then, it's going to take everything out of someone to die for that person. And just maybe you might find someone with a little bit extra love than a normal person that might lay their life down for a good person. But that's not what Jesus did. For the worst of the worst, the broken of the broken, the most sinful of the sinful. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you, the ungodly. He looked and he saw the state and the condition of humanity and how far we'd fallen and the destructive power of sin. And he said, there's one thing to do. I'm going to give my life for them. Without hesitation, without stopping, without warring and bickering over it, there's one thing that will solve this problem, and I can take care of it. And so what happens, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us. Someone say, God loved me. Well, how did he show it? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. 1 John 4 tells us this, that we love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. You know, sometimes people, and Satan will try to deceive and kind of use these ideas, and he'll flash thoughts in there to try to make you feel less than, or he'll try to say, you know what, so-and-so, maybe AJ's inviting you to church or talking about Jesus, but yeah, he don't know what you've done. You know, that's the kind of games Satan will play, right? And sometimes people will say something like that, well, I'm going to come to church. And oftentimes people kind of connect the two, and I think they should in that sense. Not, you know, just if you go to church every week, you're going to be in heaven. No, you got to be saved. Somebody say amen. But if you're saved, I think you'll be found among saved people. Praise God. If you wanted to find sick people, if I said I'll give you $1 million to find sick people as fast as possible, you know where I'm going? Down the road to the hospital. You know, just that's where most of them are going to be at, right? The easiest place to find. I think you should be able to find a whole lot of believers anytime you open up a church door. Amen? And so, but Satan likes to play these games. And sometimes people will say something like this. Well, when I get everything in order, I'll come visit with you. I'll come join you. Well, I got some things I got to work on myself first. Well, what is that saying? All that is saying, hey, you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit, but you've got this nagging little worthless voice, the devil, trying to keep you from getting to where you need to be. Because he knows if you can get to Jesus, game over for him. And he's trying to play that little devaluing game. Oh, no, they don't know what you've done. Oh, no, 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 no. AJ, they don't know. They don't know what you've done. Mm-mm. You think God's going to love you? I mean, he may love some sinner, but you dirty, rotten dog. But before we even, salvation came to the thought of our mind, Christ provided it. He saw it all. He saw every bit of it. And he said, you know what? I'll give my life for them. I'll do it. Notice verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Look, here it is. This is 2 points. We're going to see it two times. Same point two times in 9 and 10. We're justified by his blood. Look, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're justified by the blood. We're saved by his life. This is why in Philippians 3, by the Spirit of the Lord, the Apostle Paul, he's praying this prayer, and it should be all of our prayers. To know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, conforming to his image. See, there is a fellowship of suffering in the sense of, you know what, if you're going to follow Jesus, some people ain't going to care for it. You know, I mean, if the world hated Jesus, they may not like you or me, but we're going to keep loving them. Everybody, amen? Won't you say this? Say, I love everybody because Jesus loves me. That's just how his life works in you. Remember, it's not your love, it's not your life, it's his love, it's his life flowing through you. And so if he could love me, then I can love somebody else. And when, you know, sometimes when people rail and, you know, rage, it's just hurt. You know, sometimes maybe you've been there, I know I have been, you say things and you really honestly don't believe, you know, mean it or believe it really or sincere to it, but because I'm hurt, I want to hurt somebody else. Right, and so you just got to let it ride, let it roll. If Jesus could hang on the cross and receive all the accusations against him, you know, it's going to be okay if a few Facebook comments don't make you feel all good inside. I mean, come on, really? I mean, you know, It's going to be all right. But notice that we're justified by His blood, but we are saved by His life. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Because I'm no longer an enemy of God. What does that word reconciled mean? It means to be brought back to right standing in right place. Anyone ever restored maybe a car or something, or a fixer-upper house? You've done some work on something. When you got it, you know, you possessed it, you bought it, you purchased it or something, is given to you, it wasn't where it needed to be. It needed some work. You know, anyone, if you've got, you know, younger kids, well, at this point, I think the movie's probably 10 years old, but anyone seen the movie Frozen? Yeah? Just let it go, okay? Right? The movie Frozen? Anyway, Laura and I were talking about a fixer-upper house. And Naomi heard that phrase, fixer-upper. And we're riding in the car. I said, well, you know, they got a fixer-upper. And Naomi said, are you talking about Anna and Kristoff? Because there's a song talking about he's a little bit of a fixer-upper. You know, some of y'all have that. I see heads nodding. You have, like, you can sing it all back to me right now. And I was like, no. No, I said, honey, we're talking about a house, not a love relationship. You know, fixer-uppers, you want fixer-uppers to be houses, not people. Amen. Come on. Let people do their own changing. Praise God. Amen. But that's what it means to be reconciled, to be brought back to right standing, to be brought back to the place where you originally were intended to be. And that's where the gospel message starts, all the way back in Genesis 1, when God made man and woman. You know, after God makes different things in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we see that when He's creating things, animals and different things, He's pulling the land out of water. He's separating lights in the universe. And He's doing all these creative miracle type things that we see forming and fashioning the world we live in. He says, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Then He makes man in His own image and He says, it's very good. And that's where the gospel message starts, that you're made in the image of God. But through the fall of sin, we've been taken away from the right place we were to be in fellowship with God. But Jesus died our death so that we could be reconciled, brought back to that place of right standing. And so why does the resurrection of Christ matter? It matters because I was an enemy of God, but now I can be a friend of God. You know why the resurrection of Christ matters? Just a few thoughts before we finish up this morning. But why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Why does it matter that Jesus actually is alive? Because we're made righteous through His life. 1 Peter 2 and 24 tells us that having died to sins, we live unto righteousness. You know, if you're here and you need peace in your heart, you need peace in your mind, the world can't give you peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you, not that which the world can give to you. Fear not, let not your heart be troubled. See, God, Jesus has peace that He can give you that the world can't give you. The world will give you many things to try to feel that hunger and thirst in your heart and try to get some peace, but you'll never get it. You'll just go down rabbit trail after rabbit trail. But if you want peace from God, you got to have peace with God. And that's what the life of Christ does. The Bible tells us that it's through Jesus that we have peace with God, that we have peace through His blood, and we have access to the Father by Him. You know, maybe you're here and you've got some decisions in life, and you don't know which way to turn or what to do. Maybe you're making some real big life decision. It don't even have to be big. It could be any decision you can seek leading from the Lord. But maybe you're in a relationship. You know, is this the person I need to marry? You know, do that right the first time. It makes life a lot easier. Amen? Amen. You know, or what about the job? Should I work here? Should I take this promotion? Should I move here? Should I be at this place? Should I, you know, engage myself in this kind of business ordeal with this person? The Lord knows the end before the beginning. Ask Him. He'll give you direction. Because through the life of God, we can know the way. Jesus said, I am the way, right? You can get that from Him. And so why does the resurrection of Christ matter? It matters because it makes you and me alive. You know, maybe you're here today and you need healing in your body. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? Because in Romans 8:11, it says that by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it quickens your mortal body. You think about it. For instance, you know, maybe you have something going on in your body, like, for instance, like high blood pressure. Can God heal that? Jesus didn't have any blood pressure. And He got that all right, didn't He? Because He's alive. You could come up with any sickness or disease. It's not bad as death. And if so, the power of God was displayed in raising death to life, then any other form or little taste of death, known as sickness, disease, or illness, that attacks the body, God can wipe that out too. You know, that's actually a prayer that we see in the Bible. Among several things, one of them is, Lord, open up the eyes of our heart. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know the exceedingly great power that works in us. And what is that great power that works in us, that works in you, that works in me? It's the power that raised Christ from the dead. The greatest display of God's power in all of history was when Jesus rose from the dead. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter to you? Because He'll meet your needs. His life will meet your needs. Jesus said it Himself. You believe Jesus? If you do, say amen. Miss Helen, you can come up. If you believe Jesus, then you can know that He'll meet your needs. Jesus said, I'm the way. Or He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Notice, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. The needs that you have need of to be met in your life, they'll be met when you receive the life of Christ. The provision you need, what you need to make ends meet, that comes to you by the invigorating, the powerful work of God, which is the life of God coming into you. The life of Christ gives us fellowship. Jesus said in Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone that will open that door, I'll come in, I'll sit down, I'll eat with you, I'll dine with you, and we'll fellowship. Why does the resurrection of Christ matter? It matters because it gives you the victory. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the resurrection of Christ matters. And don't let this powerful, powerful reality that you possess as a believer. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm not right with God, or I've not put my faith in Jesus. Well, today's the day to do it. Because what you need, the life of God's already been made freely available to you. Would you stand up on your feet and with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for each and every person that finds themselves amongst this fellowship of believers today, Lord. Lord, you so greatly love and cherish each and every person here. Lord, you know them by name. You know the intent and depths and desires of our hearts. Lord, we've been formed and fashioned in your image. And your great and mighty love has been shed abroad and even now in our hearts. You know, if you're here today and you know you want to make this Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, something more than just, you know, a religious exercise, you've made a good decision. You're here today. That's great. But if you want to make it something that doesn't just change your day or your week, but changes your life forever, the way you do that is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, what does that mean? Well, Lord means master. It means the person that leads and guides you with a loving hand, but He's right and He's holy and His ways are much better than mine, so I'm going to surrender my ways and follow His. If you're here today and you know that you're not right with God, or you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, maybe this is the first time you've heard the true good news of Jesus, that He's come to seek and to save the lost, I want you to know that you can reach out in faith, and that in just one moment, I want to pray with you and you can receive salvation. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that the paycheck for the work of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So how do you receive this free gift? The Bible says that when you believe in your heart that Jesus is the risen Son of God, and you say with your mouth, Jesus, your Lord, you'll be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. If you're here today and maybe you do believe in Jesus, but at some point in time you walked away, you know in your heart you're not right with God. You know that you need to come back to the Lord, like the prodigal son in Luke 15. You know, the prodigal son had some thoughts. He thought, if I just go back to my father's house, maybe he'll at least let me just be a servant. But when the father saw the son returning, The father ran, embraced him. He said, give that boy my coat. Put my ring on his hand. Put my sandals on his feet and kill the fatted calf. For he who was dead is alive. He was lost is now found. You don't have to be afraid to come back to God. He'll receive you with open arms. So if you're here today and you want to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given, salvation, whether for the first time or you want to come back and rededicate your life, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you sent your son to die on my cross. He died my death. He paid my debt. He filled my grave. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. It's by your power and his life, I too am alive. I repent. I ask for forgiveness. Wash me clean of my sins. I'll live for you all the days of my life. By your Spirit, by your power, I'll live for you. I'll never turn back. Help me, Lord, to never turn back. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Won't you pray this prayer with your hands stretched toward the Lord? Say, Lord, by your Spirit, help me understand the power of the resurrection, of the life of Jesus that makes me alive. The life of Christ that lives in me for now and all of eternity. That makes me a new creation. Old, shameful, sinful things washed away. Brand new, every bit of me, forever. Receiving your divine nature. In Jesus' name. If you're thankful for the goodness of God, won't you lift up a hand clap of praise to the Lord? Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, bless this people. Bless each and every person here today. I ask of you, Father, let your hand be heavy upon each person here today, Lord. Guide their steps. Anoint their mind with the mind of Christ. Those in need, touch their body with healing power. Lord, keep and guide and lead with a careful and loving hand. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. God bless you. Thankful that you're here today.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.